From the Southeast Asian capital city of the Philippines, Manila. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the case may be, in whatever time zone you reside in. I'm Art Bell, filling in for George Norrie with a well-deserved night off. And this is the beginning of the season of the witch. Good day, everybody. Tonight, we will do the GIS. That's the Ghost Investigators Society. And then we will follow it up in a couple of days on Halloween, on All Hallows Eve, actually, with Ghost to Ghost, the traditional Ghost to Ghost program that we've been doing for so very many years now. So it's a ghost on ghost, as it were. All the ABs are well. The current picture of Miss Asia was taken only a few days ago, so you might take a good look at that. She's growing. Oh, my God, is she growing? And talking. And she wants to grow quickly. Anyway, you might take a look at that. It's right on the front page, and you can click on more, and it'll get bigger. So all are well, including the fur-bearing members, Yeti, Abby, and Dolly. I want to take a moment and lay down, well, I hate to call them rules, but they are, for a ghost-to-ghost, Halloween night, of course. It's just us, and it's just ghost stories. There would be only one story per customer. One per customer. No, oh, Art, I've got another one for you. Pick your best one and give it your best shot. Only the scariest need apply. Give us a short version. When you are answered, we will have a screener. And sort of give the short version to the screener so we can separate the spirits from those celebrating the night, consuming spirits. And if you have a short ghost story, you'd like to float to this side of the world. I am on the other side of the world now, you know. You can email it to me, and I may choose to read it on the air or may not. If I don't, please don't be disappointed. But it's got to be short, to the point, and scary. So if you want to email a ghost story, it's Art Bell. I am Art Bell at mindspring.com. Let me do that again. ArtBell at Mindspring, MindSpring, .com. And I certainly will choose to read some of them on the air. All right. We'll take a very quick break and come back and just do a couple of I've heard there's going to be an election back there. Is that right? An election? Possible changes occurring? Something like that? But all of that is for another day and another show. This show is going to concentrate on ghosts. So in a moment, with a few words I've got to say ahead of their appearance, comes the GIS. Stay right where you are. Well, all right, let's talk a little bit about ghosts, shall we? Because that's what the next couple of shows that I'm going to do, including tonight, are going to be about. I don't know, I truly don't know what ghosts are, and I don't know too many people who could say affirmatively they know what they are. I'm going to be very honest with you here. I'm sort of a religious person. I guess I'm a little agnostic, you know, in the sense that I'm not absolutely sure about anything. I'm getting to that time in my own life where I'm looking down that long, dark hall. And whether there is a bright light at the end or not, I haven't fully determined and probably won't until the time comes. However, I have experienced the presence of spirits. Do I know what they are? In other words, are they the soul of a person who has at one time lived on Earth, or could they be indeed spirits, but not of the dead? I don't know. But I do know I've experienced them. And so many others that I've talked to have experienced them. So something's there. I don't know what it is. Is it a ghost? Is it a person who was once alive? I think I lean toward yes. But I don't, to be honest with you, have any absolute answers about anything in my mind. And I think if I did, I don't know that I could do this program the way I do. In other words, if I have resolved everything, then I guess I'd be doing more of lecturing than I would wondering and exploring. And wondering and exploring is what I like to do. Anyway, Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth are members of the GIS, the Ghost Investigators Society. And this is, I think, the most interesting, what would be the right word? The most interesting avenue to go down to try and figure out what's out there. Why do I think that? Well, they go out with recorders. I think they've moved pretty much from, you know, tape recorders to the digital medium. And they go to cemeteries, they go to haunted locations, they go to, you know, all these sorts of places that I wouldn't go. And they record. And what they get is pretty scary at times. Not to them. I've talked to them about that. They're not scared of it. But they definitely get it. They get these voices. Now, they haven't written a book. They don't even take donations. They do it from their own pocket. There's absolutely nothing in what they do, and this has been over probably a decade now, that raises any red flags for me. They do this because they want to know, just as we want to know. So with that as a basis, you know, I've never found a single thing that I could be suspicious of. Not a single thing with this group. Not only do they conduct investigations, but also instruct, assist, educate anybody who thinks that they may have been experiencing ghostly phenomena. Those who are just, as I am, simply curious. In an effort to educate the public about ghosts, the GIS hopes the EVPs that you're going to hear will help demonstrate that consciousness, ours, does survive after the body dies. You see, I'm not sure about that part. And that these voices may help to give a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. Well, it may do that. So I would like to welcome them to the show. Brendan Cook, Barbara Macbeth, welcome back to Coast to Coast AM.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Gosh, it's good to hear you two again.
It's wonderful to talk to you again.
You know, I'm sure you heard my little setup there. I'm not really sure of anything, you two. I'm not sure that what we're hearing are ghosts, although I guess that's as good a name for them as any. I'm not sure they are the spirits of those who once lived here on Earth. Are you?
So after 11 years of us being on the show, you're still not sure?
No. No, I'm honestly not. I mean, for example, let's say there was a spirit out there that never had a body and wanted to screw with you guys. Well, it's possible.
Yes, it is possible.
A lot of things are possible. What I don't think is possible is that there's any hanky-panky going on. I think what you are doing is absolutely legit, straight down the line all the way. And I've never thought for one second anything different. What I don't know is, absolutely, what it is that we're hearing. Why do you think it's ghosts? Why do you think it's people who once were alive?
Well, that is my belief, and usually the places that we go, people have been experiencing the ghost phenomena, although I must admit that the spirits that have never had a body, the phenomena of that is also very similar to ghost activity.
Mm-hmm. And I've got to say, I mean, as far as, you know, what we're recording actually being ghosts is in spirits, you know, a person that's lived, died, maintaining the same personality that they had. It seems like there's been, actually, hold on, Barb, grab that. Hold on 1 second. The phone was dying on us.
With you guys, you never know.
Anyway, it seems like, you know, the compassion that comes with these voices, it's just such a human thing. I don't see where it's, you know, we're picking up radio transmissions or we're picking up cell phone signals, which is, you know, plenty of people have told us that. And I really, it sounds to me like these are people. They're people from the other side, I guess.
Well, all right, look, let me specify, they're not radio stations. They're not cell phones. I don't think any of that. I'm way past that, was way past that a long time ago. You know, I know what a radio station would sound like, even if it's, recorded with distortion and recorded in a million different ways. No radio stations, no cell phones. It's not that. But, I don't think any of us can conclusively say these are the voices of the once alive.
No, and that's correct. The closest I think we can get is when we do investigations in certain areas where somebody has called and said, hey, Uncle Joe has just died. And we come in there and, you know, say we record a voice that sounds like Joe or says the name Joe. And we play it for that family member and they go, yep, that's Joe. I mean, even then, yes, you would automatically think, well, that's a ghost. But even then, can you be sure? I mean, could it be, like you said earlier, something that never had a body that's deciding to, you know, mess with us?
Yeah. These spirits are out there. We all know the spirits are out there. There's something out there. I've had my own personal experience.
Just like when there's that voice that we recorded when Brendan fell down the stairs at the mausoleum and he was down there by himself.
Right.
And that voice that he recorded on his recorder that had fallen out of his hands when he fell, when she said to him, are you okay? The concern you could hear in her voice. Now, if this would have been a spirit that was just messing around with us and possibly could have made him fall down the stairs, I think we would have recorded a laugh and not a concerned voice.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring something up with you all. It's a personal experience. When my dear wife Ramona passed away, I will give you this right off the top. I was in a state of shock. I went into some kind of horrible state of shock. However, the next day, no, the same day actually, and the next day, and the day following that, I was in the house. You know, I had relatives nearby, adjacent house. And all of a sudden, I'm a person who gets warm very easily. I like air conditioning. I like to be cool. There was a spirit with me, and I got so cold, you two, that I was shaking. My teeth were chattering. You can attribute this to shock if you want, and who knows, maybe, but it was beyond all reason. I was so cold, I should have been able to see my breath in the air. I ended up finally having to do this several times. I went into the shower, turned the water on hot, and just sat down and let the shower beat on me. That's how, and still I was cold. I couldn't shake it. And this went on for about 3 days. I mean, it was horrible. It went on for 3 days. It was horrible, and it was comforting and a little scary, all of that. And I know she was there.
Yeah,
I know she was there. I guarantee you she was there. Since then, I've looked into Buddhism. The Buddhists believe that after death, the spirit is, well, kind of earthbound for a period of time, days, weeks, whatever it is. And then it moves on. Have you all looked into this?
Yes. I mean, many religions in the world acknowledge life after death. I think it is the ignorance of modern man that life after death is such a hard thing to accept.
I have not accepted it, truly, not completely. I kind of lean in that direction, but gosh, I'm not positive. I wish I were. It would be so comforting to have this solid faith that some people have, that God is there, there's heaven, it's all coming to us eventually, but I just can't make that final leap to absolute faith. And have you
and
all made that?
That's what it is. That's what
I know. I know. Have you made
that ultimately,
that leap?
Really, that's why we do this. I mean, we do this to try and prove to ourselves, you know, there is something on the other side. You know, I'd like nothing more than to record the voice of one of my lost relatives, just to say, oh, you know, everything's going to be okay. And we still haven't done anything like that. But I think that's what keeps pushing us is, you know, I mean, because I'll be completely honest, I still haven't proven to myself that there is something else on the other side.
Okay. So, well, then here, you haven't recorded the voice of one of your lost relatives, but have you ever recorded the voice of anybody that you've dealt with, you know, who said, come on over here and record, we've got something going on. Have you ever played a tape for somebody who said, oh, my God, that's Uncle Fred?
Yes, we had me and my husband Roger had a very good friend that committed suicide in his garage. And after his suicide, his family started experiencing ghostly phenomena in the house, and they felt like he was still there at the house. And we recorded his voice. And what he said was something that he used to clown around and say to my husband.
How did they react?
It kind of shook them up a little bit, but it also confirmed what they had been experiencing there. And they moved out of the house shortly after that. And that house has been for sale many times. In fact, I think it's up for sale again.
Yeah, it is.
Really? I guess you two are, for the most part, pretty sure that these are the voices of people who once lived then, right?
I feel pretty confident that they are.
Yeah.
You know, that seems the most likely explanation for what it is that you get. Okay, well, when we come back, we're going to start with some EVPs. I guess we ought to lay down a little bit of it. Electronic voice phenomena is simply, for those of you who really don't know yet, there have been movies about it, I would think most people know now, but people like you're listening to this evening who just go out and record, originally with standard recorders and audio tape, right?
Yep. Well, yeah, and again, that's originally we did that. Took Barbara some convincing to.
And if I could find a good recorder that plays tapes anymore, I'd still stay with those. I prefer those.
Really? Really?
Yeah, so we've moved into the digital age. We're using the handheld digital recorders, condenser mics, you know, hooked up to mixing boards. And yeah, we've come a long way.
Well, the new digital age seems to have cleared some of the EVPs up. I mean, they're not perfect, but they're a lot better than they were during the tape days, right?
They are. In fact, you know, it'd almost be interesting to do a show just of voices that we got, you know, over a decade ago compared to what we get now.
Although I thought the ones we got on tape were pretty dang clear for that time period.
Well, they were, but they were a little hissy. You know, it added noise, obviously.
Yes,
and
they were
with
still
the digital
pretty
age,
clear.
Yeah, it's cleared them up. All right, you two, hold tight. So what you're going to hear tonight is scary stuff. There's no question about it. It'll put a little bit of a chill down your spine. And maybe as the evening goes on, you'll be able to, for yourself, answer the question that we posed tonight, and that is what it is that we're hearing in these recordings. That's the big question, isn't it? We'll be right back. From Manila in the Philippines, other side of the world from the majority of you, evening, morning, afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are. Sitting in my lap is Miss Asia Bell, who wants to wish everybody Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween!
And, hey, can you count to 10 for everybody?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Wow. Okay, thank you, honey. Bye. There you go. Happy Halloween from somebody 3 years and 5 months old. We'll be right back. Well, all right. Back we are. My guests are the GIS. That would be the Ghost Investigators Society, comprised or represented by Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth. There are actually a number of members. How many members, folks?
There's five.
Five of you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to name them?
Yes. Jenny is Brendan's wife. Roger is my husband. And then there's Barry Boris.
So it's mostly in the family.
Well, yeah, pretty much, except for Barry's the odd guy out. But.
And it's interesting. I'm sure you've had a million opportunities over the years to expand, that is to say, add members. I'm sure you've had people begging to get in. And yet you keep it in this tight little group. Why?
Well, you have to be able to trust the people you're with when you're doing this. You have to believe, you know, and trust what they say, any experiences that they have.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to trust what they're saying.
And we all just get along so well. I mean,
we are like family.
Mm-hmm. And over the years, as I mentioned earlier in the show, you've never, I don't know, you haven't written a book. You don't solicit donations. You don't do anything for money. I guess that's intentional, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
And we've had, you know, obviously from being on your show, and we have had so many opportunities to do different things like that and been offered, you know, different monetary things. And we've turned them down strictly because we look at it as the second money comes into play with this, you know, any credibility is pretty much taken away. And I'm not saying that, you know, the people that are out there that do make money don't have any credibility. I'm not saying that at all. But as far as how we work, we just wouldn't feel right about doing what we're doing if there's any sort of money involved in it.
Well, clearly, it does add to your credibility. It certainly does for me, so I'm sure it does for much of the audience as well. Where are we going to begin tonight? In other words, what kind of location did you go to?
Well, this first one is actually the most recent investigation that we've been on. This was the first week of October, so just a few weeks ago. And this is a location that's called Artists and Heirlooms. It is an antique store/art gallery in Ogden, Utah. And the building is well over 100 years old. It's located on the historic street here in Ogden. And
it used to be a hotel.
Did it used to be? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Now, in this clip, there's been, you're actually going to hear in a clip a little bit later, talking, Barbara says something about a man in a felt hat, and that's one of the ghosts that have been seen in this location, is this old man that wears a felt hat that just kind of walks through walls in the basement.
And he's also been seen on the main floor. He's been seen by different people, and he's always wearing this felt hat, this gray felt hat.
Well, did either one of you on the occasion of the taping see anything this time?
No.
No, I didn't see anything, but I did have this horrible, horrible smell in the basement. And that's actually where a couple of these voices were recorded, in the basement. But it was just this... It's like nothing I've ever smelled before. It was musty but sour and just almost made me nauseous.
Mm.
And, you know, again, me being rational, that could have been anything, but it just kind of came on me like I had hit a wall. So that's a little different.
See, I don't like that.
I didn't either.
If the spirits are happy, I guess happy is the right word, or contented, you would expect a decent smell.
I don't believe there are too many ghosts that are very happy. That's my own personal opinion.
Uh-huh. Just so we can set the record straight, these are just personal beliefs you're about to hear, but what is a ghost? In other words, is a ghost somebody who has passed away and for some sad reason, I guess sad, is stuck in this world? Is that what a ghost is? Is that the definition?
Yes, that's what I would define a ghost as, a person that's lived, has a body, has died, and for some reason they have not moved on. And people that experience a visitation, like from a loved one, and are only, you know, they only experience this dead loved one or somebody that they know one time, I don't classify that as a ghost. I think that that person is there for a reason, that they, when they experience that event, that's, I don't consider that a ghost. A ghost is somebody that is experienced sometimes over hundreds of years, that is witnessed by many people.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think the Buddhists are right. I think that for a period of time after death.
I do. I've always believed that.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and get one on the air so people can understand what they're here or what they're about to hear through the evening.
All righty. Now, this first one, you're just going to hear me asking my standard question that I ask. It's, how old are you? Because there was a kid that was reported in this building. And you hear a young woman respond to me saying, he's so little. And, of course, with EVP, you never hear these at the time. 99% of the time, these are never heard until after. So I wish I would have heard her because it's so completely clear.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Number one.
How old are you?
You know, that's quite clear. I think everybody can hear it. What happens is you're playing the original one, and then you're playing three looped recordings that have slightly more gain. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. We play it once in the original context with, you know, if there was an investigator asking a question, then the voice. And then after that, we just loop the voice twice afterwards just for clarity.
Okay. He's so little is what we think we're hearing. He's so is very clear. Little, I'm not sure about. So let's do number one again. Here we go.
How old are you?
Okay. All right. So somebody, you were aware that there had been a young child there?
Yeah, we had actually been told that somebody who had come in had seen a young child there. I believe it was a psychic that had actually talked to the young child. And I don't believe we actually recorded any children's voices in this. Look, oh, no, wait, I'm wrong. We did. So maybe that is him, and maybe this woman is referring to the child. When I ask, how old are you, she's just saying, well, he's so little.
Mm-hmm. Is it your view that people on the other side can see you?
I think sometimes, yes.
I believe that they're very aware of us.
As in visually aware, Barbara?
I think that can't comprehend how a ghost experiences loved one, your live people. I think it's a whole different thing. I think the brain, the consciousness is aware.
Okay. All right. And again, there most of these voices you're going to hear are not, or they don't sound happy. They don't sound alive. Sometimes they do. There's anger. You will hear anger from ghosts. You will hear sort of the downtrodden sound, the sad sound. And I guess that's because they have not been able to move on. And they're in some sort of, I don't know, they're trapped. Is that a fair word?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that's very well put.
Could that be a kind of a purgatory?
Yes, very much. I would think it would be a real hell on earth being stuck here.
And I, you know, I've always kind of wondered that if that is, you know, really the Christian version of purgatory. Is that what we're recording? And again, that's something that just, I don't know how you'd ever be able to answer that.
Yeah, I don't either. If you could have a dialogue with them, you might be able to get such questions answered, as in, where are you? What is it like where you are? And you get little snatches of that. I mean, I can recall voices saying, it's so cold here,
yep.
Or I'm so
yeah.
cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You know, and another thing about EVP is not everyone will hear the same thing. There's some of the voices on that we're playing tonight that I hear something completely different, you know. So, but the thing is that there is a voice there that should not be.
Right. All right. Let's move on to number two. Again, recorded in this artist, an heirloom's place.
Okay. You're going to hear Brendan. He's setting up his microphone and his equipment in the basement, and he tells me to keep talking so he can adjust it. He'll say, keep talking, Barb, and then you hear me say, it hardly picked me up the first time I said anything.
Right.
And then there's this voice. It sounds like it's very difficult for him to say this, but it sounds like he says, this is my room. And it's kind of a weird sounding voice.
Yeah, very throaty.
Bear in mind, folks, this used to be a hotel, so I guess somebody could sort of claim they were in their room. Okay, number two, fire away.
Just keep talking, Barb.
It hardly picked me up the first time I said anything.
Hello. Oh, gee. See, that was ghosty. I guess that's the right word. That was kind of ghosty. That was kind of chilling, and it was quite clear. Now, whether or not, I'm a victim of suggestibility, and we all are in this case, is a good question. But I clearly heard, this is my room. But of course, you told me I was going to hear that.
Play it again and see if you can make out something different.
Okay. I know that after you come back from a place like this, you all sit down, and first of all, everybody should know, you don't just find these don't happen, you know, just like that.
No.
These take hours upon hours upon hours to collect, and then hours and hours and hours and hours to search for on the recordings when you get home, right?
Right. And we should also mention, you know, the voices that we play on your show are the best of the best. I mean, not all EVP sounds anywhere near this loud. You know, this is, like you mentioned, you know, a bunch of different investigations after hours and hours, and here is the best of the best. The majority of them are very whispery and in the background, right. And, you know, we talk over them so you can't even hear what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to give people the impression that all EVP sounds just like this.
All right, and people should also understand, you're not hearing the responses in live time. As something we've talked about in the past, it might be possible to do so, though not an easy job. You hear them later when you sit down and review the tapes. And as you just mentioned, sometimes you're talking over them, which I guess is sad because you probably missed some good ones.
That's correct.
Yeah, there's nothing more frustrating than, we'll go, God, can you imagine if that, you know, nobody was talking when that voice came in. But it happens more times than we'd like to admit, where we just talk over whatever it is in the background, and it just, it's frustrating.
I think we've got a good example of it later on our list.
Oh, really? Okay. All right, we're going to do number two again. This one's kind of chilling, and it is suggested that this is my room is what's being said. If you hear something else, I'd like to hear about it. So number two, one more time.
Let's keep talking, Barb.
It hardly picked me up the first time I said anything.
I don't like that. That's kind of creepy. You wouldn't imagine there would be any sense of time. I'm going to refer to it as the other side, on the other side, or in this purgatory in which they find themselves. But there wouldn't be a sense of time, would there?
I wouldn't think so.
I would not believe that there is.
I just don't see what the point of...
If you exist forever, what difference does it matter how long a time it is?
That's true, I guess, but if there really is a hell, for example, how can you know how long you're suffering unless there's a sense of past, present, and future?
An attitude adjustment, I'd say.
Yeah, I guess so. And so apparently, ghosts have a sense of ownership, as in, this is my room. Is it your view, you two, that ghosts hang where they passed?
No, I do not believe that. I believe that they're linked to a location from their life.
I think it's a place that's important to them, whether that's some place where they've passed on, or it's their childhood home they grew up in, or, you know, we've even heard places being haunted, you know, like amusement parks, where somebody enjoyed their childhood at an amusement park, and that's where they've been seen since they've passed on.
So then, as a spirit, you can move around if you want to, apparently.
Yes. I believe, in fact, in this historical location here in town, there has been a ghost of a soldier that has been seen at what used to be a Union Pacific Railroad station and in a couple of the hotels that are just across the way, across the street from the train station.
Okay, what about this? Have you ever recorded the voice of a person who is still alive?
Not that I am aware of. I don't know that we have.
Yeah, I don't think we have. The closest I can think of is, this was a few years back, we were doing an investigation in Salt Lake City, and one of the investigators had said the word, I can't remember what it was, water or something like that, but just prior to her saying that, there was a voice that said water that almost sounded identical to her, and it was almost like somehow the recorder picked up her thought of saying water, and then she says it.
The reason I say that is because it's obvious to me, and I think many others in the audience, that the human brain, the living human brain, is capable of many extraordinary, even paranormal things. That's the reason I asked the question.
Very true.
All right.
We have had ghosts say something that is immediately repeated by a living person that's there at the investigation, which makes me wonder if they can put thoughts into a living person's head.
Gotcha. All right. Hold tight, you two. We're at a break point already. 1 hour gone. We're playing EVPs for you. Voices from the Other Side. It is from Manila, way over here in the Philippines, where it's very warm. And it's always very warm. We have two seasons here, warm and warmer. Actually, summer and the rainy season. I call it warm and warmer. My guests are from the GIS, the Ghost Investigators Society. And I think you've got to admit, if you've been listening for this last hour, that there aren't many holes to look at in what you're hearing. It is what it is, and you can make of it what you will, but it surely does seem as though these voices are coming from, well, you answer it for me. They're not radio stations. They're not cell phones. What are they? We'll be right back. Here's something that I would like to get out to the audience just before we jump back into the recordings. If you have doubts about what you're hearing, my suggestion to you would be try it yourself. Now, what does that mean? That means take a digital recorder or a regular recorder, whatever, and, you know, the old tape variety, if you wish. Either one works. And go to... where would you all recommend somebody would go for a test?
You know, it sounds really cheesy, but a cemetery. And the only reason we say that, and I know you've asked this before, why, mm-hmm. you know, why go to cemeteries? There's two reasons. One, if you go to a cemetery late at night, it is normally very, very quiet. There's not going to be a lot of people walking around or, you know, a lot of background noise. And two, we believe that ghosts, I don't want to say feed on emotion, but emotion can keep them in a certain location. And it's not so much that a ghost is staying around a cemetery because that's where their body is. I think they're staying there because, you know, family members come and mourn them there, and that's where the emotion is, so that's where they are.
Well, perhaps also when the person to do the testing goes to a cemetery, they're going to be scared out of their wits, displaying lots of emotion.
And I believe that they do feed off of that, too. any place that's you know, reportedly haunted, even if a person's home, if somebody believes that they have activity in their home, try it in your home.
That's a good point. So a location where either somebody has said there's activity or you feel it yourself is a better spot.
Yes, and get permission. If you know, try to get permission. We always get permission to go into locations, even if we have to contact police department or, you know, let them know that we're going in a place. Or...
Mm-hmm. I would think that on any number of occasions, as you've gone out, particularly to cemeteries and places like that, somebody has called the police. You had some encounters with local law enforcement.
They'll patrol, you know, most places police patrol cemeteries, you know.
You know, and especially now, I guess we didn't notice it so much years ago, but now with, you know, the big boom in ghost hunting and ghost investigating and that, I mean, every city's local cemetery has ghost hunters in it at some point, you know, especially throughout October. So, you know, police are aware of that, and some of them, the investigators, quote-unquote, are vandalizing things and, you know, doing things they shouldn't be that really have nothing to do with what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, always, always get permission because the police just aren't, you know,
humid.
Oh, well, you're ghost investigating, so that's fine.
Have you ever had a serious encounter with law enforcement?
No.
You know, as in get out of here now or you're going to the pokey?
No, not so much. We did have one, I would say probably 7 years ago, who just didn't buy what we were doing. This was before anybody had really heard of people going to cemeteries and doing this.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, I don't believe it. You guys need to leave. So,
you know, and some, you know, most towns will have a city ordinance about you've got to be out of a cemetery after a certain time, you know, usually
right.
The sun goes down.
Uh-huh.
So,
are you two on regular telephones?
Yes.
Okay. I've been hearing some clicking and sort of cutting out. It could be in our connection or it could be in your connection. I'm not sure. All right, let's move on. Again, EVPs, folks. And this is number four, recorded at a sort of artist heirloom type place that was once a hotel.
Is it number four or number three?
Yes. Is it number three? Okay, yes, it is number three. I'm sorry.
All right, now this one, I think what we're going to do is I'm not going to tell you what the voice itself says.
I already know.
You can't cheat.
Well, everybody else. But,
okay.
I do think it sounds like the same man as the previous clip, though. I will say that. It sounds like the same voice. And all you're going to hear is my wife say, well, it turned on, and she's referring to a lamp that was in this area that just turned on by itself. And I say, well, it's dead now, meaning it doesn't turn back on, and then here comes this man's voice.
All right, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring up my Fast Blast. People who are near Fast Blast, do me a favor. And if you would please, as soon as you hear this, Fast Blast me what it is you're hearing. And we'll get at least a few, I suppose. And we're not going to tell you what we're hearing, so or what you should be hearing. So here we go. This is number three. Listen carefully.
Well, it turned on.
It's dead now.
Thanks. Oh, you guys picked a terrible one to do this test on. Terrible. I have no idea what was said, and I'm looking. I really know what you think was said, but I have no idea from listening to it. That sounded like mishmash to me.
Yeah, that one, it's really tough. Syllabically, it's even hard to make out what is being said. The only thing I can gather is it does sound like the same voice as the previous clip. I mean, it sounds like the same man's voice.
Hmm. Bad test. Bad test. All right, cancel that idea for a test on this one anyway. We'll do it on one that is I want to do it on one that's apparently clear, okay?
Okay.
So, because I have no idea. We're going to play it again right now. Listen very, very carefully, everybody. See if you hear something I don't. Go ahead.
Well, it turned on.
It's dead now.
No clue. I have no clue. What they say the voice was saying is, I'm gone. And trust me, I don't hear that. In fact, I just hear kind of an, yeah. That's all I hear. So, how did you come up with I'm gone from that mishmash?
You know, I think it was really just listening to it. I mean, each one of these voices we probably listen to hundreds of times. And after hearing it so many times, this could be, you know, just the brain working while you're listening to it. But
our brain wants to make order out of disorder.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah, of course. And this goes into what you were saying before about EVP is extremely subjective. And it makes me wonder, you know, had I said what I think it's saying before we played it, would you have heard it because you're listening for it now? Rather than, you know, just saying, well, there's a voice in here. So
okay, well, hey, listen, I like the idea of a test, but why would you pick that one?
I don't know.
It's just,
I guess to help me out because I was kind of wondering it said also.
All right. Well, you finally came up with I'm gone. I can't say that I heard that at all.
No, we do have a really good one. A few voices later that we'll do another test on. It should be abundantly clear what it says.
All right, fine then. Everybody prepare, get somewhere near Fast Blast, and when we get to the test, we'll let you know. How's that? I guess I'm expecting an answer from them, and of course they can't answer. All right. Well, let's move on to something we can hear. This is number four.
All right, you're going to hear me say, is the man that wears the felt hat here? And then you're going to hear a voice, a man's voice, that says, I hit his back. And then you will hear me say, will you speak to us?
Okay. When you talk to these spirits, or attempt to, as you are here, do you intentionally pause? Have you learned to intentionally pause?
It's a whole way, when you do this, it's a whole way of learning how to speak.
And give them time.
Right, or what you end up with, of course, is your voice over somebody else's.
Over, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All righty then. Number four, please.
Is the man that wears the felt hat here? Will you speak to us?
I do hear I hit his back. And again, I don't know, you know, to be fair, folks, I've got a list in front of me, you know, of what's going to be played and what's said. And I hit his back is what it sounds like. But I've been warned. I've been previewed. We'll do it one more time and see if that's really what you hear, folks. See if you really hear I hit his back. Go ahead, number four again.
Is the man that wears the felt hat here? Will you speak to us?
That's pretty clear. That's pretty clear. I hit his back. Back was definitely clear. We'll get some feedback from the audience here after a while. Again, who was the man who was said to be wearing the felt hat?
They don't know who he is. This area used to be – now, the hotel used to have – what's the word?
I'm not sure.
It was kind of a bad part of town at one time.
A brothel is what you're looking for? There you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, upstairs in the second level of the building. And most of the hotels down in this area did have brothels.
Interesting. All right, on to number five.
All right, well, you know we couldn't get out of here without playing a kid's voice for you. So,
Actually, kids' voices, folks, kids' voices, sorry, are actually probably the majority of what they get. Is that fair? Maybe not. It's probably half of what you get, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah, and it's, as we mentioned, it's something that really bothers us because... You know, when you hear ghosts and you hear EVP, you don't expect, you know, to hear a child, especially the young children that we actually record.
Right. Okay. So, again, this is the, I think, the final one at this location?
Yeah, this is the last one, Artisan Heirlooms. And you're just going to hear me say, can you tell us what it's like where you're at? And this makes it even worse, the child's response. It sounds like the child says, I didn't eat today.
Okay, number five, please.
Can you tell us what it's like where you're at?
Oh, God. Ay-yi-yi. All right, clearly that's a child's voice, and clearly that child is talking. Eat, the word eat, I thought was very, very clear, and today was very, very clear. I didn't eat today. That raises a million questions. What does a ghost care about eating? What does this disembodied spirit? Well,
this child might have been hungry most of the time during its lifetime.
Well, and again, what's even worse is in context with what I say, can you tell us what it's like where you're at? And the child responds, I didn't eat today. Mm-hmm. That doesn't suggest a very, very happy place. And we've mentioned this before, that, you know, they're obviously dead. They don't have a body. They don't have the physical needs that we would, like eating. But mentally, they still want that. We've recorded voices saying, I want a cigarette. I mean,
really?
Need for it, but, I mean, it's something, you know, it's a craving they had in life, and that carried over into death. And it must be them in death.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that. That's right. There's no 7-Eleven to run down to and grab a pack.
Uh-uh.
Oh, Lord, don't let that be true. I've had a many years battle with trying to quit smoking, and I've had, you know, periods where I've quit for 3 months, that kind of thing. But, you know, I'm hooked. I know I'm hooked, and I don't want to think that I'm going to be hooked on the other end. That's a terror. Contemplating that. Do either one of you smoke?
Yeah.
I used to. I'm 7 months quit now, I think. So.
Congratulations. I can't imagine getting to the other side or whatever it is and still having that physical craving. Doesn't make sense. Better not be true.
Well, it's your consciousness, and it's your mental state. That's what.
My God. All right. I want to hear this one more time. This is very bothersome. Number five, please, once more.
Can you tell us what it's like where you're at?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Definitely a child. Here's a question for you. If half of what you get are children, besides the fact that it's very bothersome that you get children at all, you get so many of them, I mean, from a percentage point of view, an awful lot more adults die than children. I mean, death at a very early age happens, but it's not especially common, right?
Right.
Right.
You know, I've kind of wondered if the children's voices we record are all actually children, or are they people that are, you know, they're just choosing to come through
sound
as a
like
child's
a child?
Voice. Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's terribly bothering to me to hear them, and there's so many of them. Perhaps when you pass on, you do have the opportunity to come back in the form that you wish, in the age that you wish. Who knows? But you wouldn't think there would be a lot of choices on the immediate other side, that trapped area.
Well, Barbara,
she's
talked about you know, people that have seen, or people that she's talked to that have seen ghosts in different stages of their life. They've appeared as, you know, when they're younger, and then they've appeared as an old person. They've appeared in middle age. Who knows? I mean,
you could be the state of mind of that person at the time.
Could be. We're going to take, when we go to a break here, we're going to take a look at the lines. I'm hearing some, for some reason, I'm hearing you cut out a little bit. Is there anything you can do with the phones on your end?
We will check.
We will check on that art.
Are you on portable phones?
No.
Okay. All right. That's pretty much of a no-no, but so who knows. When we come back, we're going to be listening to voices from where? From Wilshire?
Yeah, it's an old movie theater that was closed down. It was probably 60, 70 years old.
Uh-huh. Why would you expect to get a lot of voices from, I mean, not a lot of people pass away in a movie theater. Although that's not a prerequisite, is it, to getting the voices?
No, actually, in this theater, it was a place that was pretty, in the city it's in, was pretty well known to be haunted for some reason or another. It scared a lot of people.
Okay, and again, that's the reason you go to such locations. All right, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to visit a very old, possibly haunted theater in Wilshire, California. I'm Art Bell. Here I am, down near the equator, folks. I've got a couple of questions that have come in by FastBlast that I think are worth asking. Sherry in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania asks, what if the voices on EVPs are not the afterlife, in quotes, but an alternate dimension? Maybe when you think or say things in a very heightened emotional state, the energy is so strong it crosses over or exits indefinitely in a realm of emotional energy. How about that, you two?
Yeah, we've heard that. We've heard people actually almost state that word for word.
I guess that would be possible. I find it easier to believe in ghosts than that, but that would be a possibility.
Then it would be a, according to what we've heard, it wouldn't be a very happy alternate dimension. It would probably be a cold alternate dimension with a lot of ticked off people.
Yeah, I think that's putting it perfectly.
All right, Jet in Colorado Springs, Colorado says, hi, Art. I'm somewhat skeptical about EVPs. Here's my comment and/or question. I realize that I listen to English stations and that shows like yours talk about subjects in English. Are there any other languages found in EVPs? What about it? Are other languages present?
Yeah. In fact, there'll be a couple of examples of that towards the end of the clips we're going to play tonight. Mm-hmm. And we're actually going to play them hoping that somebody can translate them for us.
Okay. That's certainly fair. What percentage of the time do you get?
Not very often. And I think a lot of that has to do with it's because of the locations we're going. I mean, the locations that we investigate are English-speaking locations. I think if we were to investigate, say, in Spain, we'd pick up a lot of Spanish. I know there's a lot of German investigators. They pick theirs up in German. So I think that's fair.
So in other words, these spirits tend to stay, more or less in the area that they know. And I think that's what you would expect. All right. We're going on now to Wilshire. And this is an old theater.
Yes.
Where there had been some reported activity.
Yes.
Right. All right. Number six.
You're going to hear this person that was with us say, "Then what the hell was that pound over there?" They had heard a noise, and he asked Brendan, "You heard it, didn't you?" And Brendan responds, "Yeah." And then it sounds like a young girl to me that responds, and the EVP. And what Brendan hears is something different than what I hear. He hears, "I'm seeing a whole bunch down there," and I hear, "I see a hole down there."
Mm-hmm. I'm. By the way, before we do this, I'm hearing something very strange on your phone, Barbara. Kind of a sound. Are you hearing that?
No.
No.
Okay. We don't hear it here.
Okay. All right. Number six.
What the hell was that pound over there? You heard it too, didn't you?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, that's not as clear as you would have it be. It is obviously, however, a child's voice ostensibly saying, "I'm seeing a whole bunch down here," and I sort of hear part of that, and part of it is not too clear to me, but again, a child's voice.
Yes. It sounds like a young girl to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was another one of the ones I really had to listen to quite a few times before I came up with, that's what I thought it was saying. And again, Barbara said she thinks it's saying something completely different. Well, I wouldn't say completely different, but she doesn't hear one or two of the words that I hear.
Okay. I would tend to agree with Barbara. What do you hear, Barbara?
What I'm hearing is, "I see a hole down here."
All right. I'm going to listen again subjectively and see what I hear. Number six, please, one more time.
What the hell was that pound over there? You heard it too, didn't you?
Yep.
See, that time I heard what you heard. I'm seeing a hole down here.
Yeah, I don't hear the word bunch in that sentence.
Fascinating. It'll be interesting to see what the audience thinks. These are what they are, folks. They're recorded. And I fully understand that you would be surprised, you all, at some of the anger that comes. And fear equals anger more times than not. I have found that when people are afraid of something, they get angry. No, that's a bunch of junk. Whatever. They just get angry. Their response is anger. And I don't know that I understand that, but on the other hand, yes, I do. Number 7, let's keep moving. Wilshire.
All right. Now, this one, this was recorded by my wife, and it was just my wife and our other investigator named Barry, and they had just opened up this, it was almost like a manhole cover in the ground, and it led to this whole other room below the theater. And they just lifted up the cover, and then you hear Barry say, "Hey, is Jimmy Hoffa in there?" And then you're going to hear this man, it's kind of an older sounding man. It sounds like he says, "Did you feel that?"
I wonder if he was referring to, in the one you just played, the first Wilshire, what you said, what the hell was that pound over there? Was it pounding on the wall? Or?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
there was a noise.
It was a really, just a loud thud.
A loud thud. Well, in this next one, if he's saying, "Did you feel that?" he might have been referring to how much difference in time was there between the two?
Oh, this was hours. Between the two, this was probably 2 hours later at least.
Okay, so no apparent connection. All right, number 7, please.
"Hey, is Jimmy Hoffa in there?"
Boy, I don't get that at all. I don't get "did you feel that" at all out of that.
Really?
Yeah, really. Barbara, is that what you heard?
No. I don't know what I heard on it. I heard a voice that shouldn't have been there.
Right, there was a voice. But I couldn't tell at all what it was saying. Now, maybe I just was not listening carefully. Let's do it one more time. Number 7, please, listen carefully.
"Hey, is Jimmy Hoffa in there?"
I'm sorry, I don't get that at all. That one was a mystery to me completely. Some of them are just, there's no question about it, but that to me was just gibberish. I didn't get it. Sorry. Let's try number 8.
Okay, this one's going to be the test. You're going to hear Brendan say, "Okay, let's go."
All right, don't tell us what. Right.
And then the EVP responds.
Okay, and that's what we want the audience to listen for. This next one, we're just going to play it, and we're going to ask you to fast blast as quickly as you can what it is you hear. And so we'll get some responses from the audience, and we'll come back to it later. How about that? So this is number 8, and I would like your response, folks, to what you hear the voice say. Number 8, please.
Okay, let's go.
All right, we can't have a discussion about this because that would give it all away. So instead, we're going to just play it again, but it's that that last part, the EVP voice, and we want you to decide what is being said and fast blast that to me. So number 8, one more time.
Okay, let's go.
Umbrella. All right. I'd love to have a discussion about that, and we will later. But for now, if the audience would just fast blast what was said, we'll see how you do. That's all I can say. To me, it was quite clear, but to be honest with you, I'm sitting here reading a script of what's going to be said, so I already knew, so I don't count. All right, number 9.
All right. Now, this actually refers to the previous voice that you said you couldn't really hear, where Barry's saying, hey, is Jimmy Hoffa down there?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to also hear Barry say, if you stick your camera down there, don't drop it. And then you're going to hear sounds to me like a child saying, can I see it?
All right, number 9.
You can stick your camera down there, don't drop it.
Mm-hmm. That, again, is a child's voice. Gee, we're reaching that 50% mark easily. Can I see it is what the child says, and I think that is exactly what the child says. But we'll do it one more time, please, number 9.
You can stick your camera down there, don't drop it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there you have it. And I agree. Can I see it? And again, I'm bothered by these children. Gosh.
Well, it almost sounds like a curious kind of voice. Like the child is curious about, the equipment, the camera.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, can I see it?
Mm-hmm. And if children have anything, they have lots and lots of curiosity. No question about that.
Yeah.
I can vouch for that with my little princess.
She's talking really good, by the way.
Oh, she's driving us. You know, it makes the days when she couldn't talk, well, it makes you long for them at times because she just never stops. It's just on and on and on and on. Now she's interested in my radio equipment. She likes my Morse code key.
Yeah.
Can I see that? Can I play with that, Daddy? Later. Do you promise, Daddy? And then later she'll come back in remembering that promise.
She doesn't forget about it.
No, she doesn't. All right. We're going now to a cemetery. Well, actually, a cemetery is where we'll go if we don't take a break. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. All right, how cool is this? We did a test on number 8, and here are the results, everybody. I've just got one sort of a part of a page in front of me. Damien in Stanton, California said number 8 is come back. Doug in Chicago, Illinois says, I heard I'm back and or come back. Christina in Longview, Washington. Well, I know you asked for number 8, but I have to tell you, I hear she talks about number 7 and doesn't give us an answer at all. Lori C. in Cedar Rapids, Iowa says, come back. Jesse in Clearwater, B.C., Canada. Number 8 says, clearly, come back. Perfectly appropriate. Ezra in Austin, Texas, I think it said, come back. Genesis in Palmdale, California, come back or I'm back. Leanne in Silver Springs, Nevada, number 8, come back. Doug in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, come back. Doug in Florence, Oregon, sounds like the EVB is saying, come back to me, but come back. Mitz in Gardena, California, sounds like, come back. And James in Sacramento, I think the voice is saying, come back. Ron in L.A., California, come back. So there you've got it. I could read more, but don't need to. We all heard the same thing. And we're going to play it again because I want to talk a little bit about number 8. If you would, cue up number 8 and play it one more time for us, number 8.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, there you go, folks. There is the response to our little test, and I'll grant you it was clear. It was as clear as could be, and everybody heard the same thing. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm actually really glad we did that, because I don't think we've ever really tried to do that before on the show. And
no, not in real time.
Yeah.
The reason I want to talk about it a little bit is because everybody could clearly hear you rustling around, getting ready to go, the equipment moving or whatever was moving. You were obviously getting ready to go. You said, okay, let's go. And the voice clearly said, come back. Now, this sort of turns a little corner for us. This is one of those immediate response things, as though they can see you or they can hear you clearly. They know what's going on. They know you're leaving, and the voice says, come back. So sometimes the EVPs seem unconnected to whatever's going on. In others, like this one, it's extremely contemporary. They're seeing or hearing you.
That's right. I mean, and that to me is easily the most fascinating part about this, is when we get these contextual, intelligent responses that obviously are completely aware of what we're doing, even though we aren't, you know, of them being there. They're commenting on what we're doing. And, I mean, that to me is just so amazing. And it makes me even more think, you know, these are spirits. These are, you know, entities that used to have a body, lived, died, and for whatever reason, they're still here.
I'd like to ask a question. When you're in a location like the theater, for example, how careful are you to make absolutely sure that nobody else is present, that there are not children hiding in the rafters somewhere? Not that I think that that would work, because you'd hear it, you'd know that that was, you know, what you were recording, you'd audibly hear it, but right. You are careful about that sort of thing, right?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time, like when we go into a building, the owner or person that owns the location will open the door, let us in, and lock the door to make sure that we're safe inside.
And we do. Makes when sense. When we're out, we control the location. We know who's there, and it's normally only, you know, the five of us, and then maybe the person that owns it. We never allow children with us. Anybody under 18, we even if the person that owns the location we're going to has a child that, you know, maybe is 14, we say, well, we can't do it unless we know that they're not going to be there. So,
okay.
And in this case, in this theater, it was only, I believe, six of us, and it was probably 12, 1 o'clock in the morning when this was recorded. So, I mean, the theater was completely deserted, empty. There's, you know, no chance that this was anybody else, you know, saying something that we just didn't know was there.
There's a different quality to these voices also.
Well, you know, the one that said come back, I mean, it was so clearly actually saying, don't go, come back. I mean, that was the context. That was,
yes, but the quality of that voice was not, I mean, there's a different quality to the EVP. I don't know if it's because it's coming through a different area but you can tell an EVP from a regular voice most of the time.
Mm-hmm. I recall many of them used to have this sort of, how would you describe it, a kind of a phased sound to the audio. I haven't heard that as much recently, but I recall hearing it. It could have been an artifact of a tape, or I don't know what, but a kind of an eerie phased sound to it. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're headed to, definitely headed to a cemetery, and I'm afraid we're going to begin with what seems to be, nobody's going to like this one, a baby. From the Philippine Islands, the nation of the Philippines, Manila, I'm Art Bell. Here I am indeed. Hi, everybody. It's a beautiful, sunshiny day where I am, and I know night where you are. That's the flip side of the world for you. Listen, if any of you are able to, you know, I've tried for years. We've been doing this better than a decade. And I've tried for years to shoot holes in this. And I can't. I really honestly can't. Unless you believe that these two are faking it. Remember, these are not the only two doing this. This is being done all over the world. EVP has been this, actually the subject of several motion pictures. It's been going on since, I think, Alexander Graham Bell. It's not a single phenomena being demonstrated by just these two. This is a worldwide thing going on. So if you can shoot holes in this, be my guest. When we get to open lines, call up and shoot holes if you can. I can't. And to me, that means we're hearing the real thing here. I don't know what else to say. It's a real thing, and it's a very important question, because if it is the real thing, it says something about the spirit after death, that there is something after death. And I know a lot of you are going to sit out there and say, well, of course there is. All right, don't you have faith? and that's fine. We're going to a cemetery now for just, a single EVP. Is that correct?
Yes. This was probably at about 1 in the morning, and we were in this particular cemetery. And Brendan set his recorder down on a headstone and left. And what it is, this is not looped. You can hear the wind blowing, and it is a baby crying. And the baby cries for quite a long time. And we did not hear this baby crying at that time.
Okay, so again, it's not, what we're about to hear is not looped. It's just a straight-on recording. Is that correct?
Right. That's correct.
And it was done on the headstone of somebody?
Yeah, what had happened is I just, decided I was going to put my recorder down on a headstone, leave it for about 45 minutes recording, and then come back, pick it up later.
Wasn't a child's headstone, was it?
No. Actually, it was an old man's headstone. I remember I noted that on the recorder whose headstone I was putting it on.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, you just hear this baby crying.
All right, here it comes. Number 10. Oh, good Lord. Oh, my goodness. Are you sure that there wasn't a baby? It was 1 in the morning. It seems unlikely, but God, that sounds like a baby crying. It really does.
There was just the four of us in this cemetery. Barry wasn't with us at that time, but there was just four of us in there.
The four of you.
It was one in the morning.
And I'll be honest, out of all the voices we've recorded and played, this is probably the second worst.
It's bad. It's really bad.
The thought of this baby crying is just horrible. In fact, the only thing that makes me feel any better about it is we've had people listen to that and say they think it's a baby laughing. So...
Uh-huh. I'll listen for that, but it sounded like crying to me. Number 10 again, please. Too suggestible, because as I listened that time, it could have been a baby laughing,
right?
Which is a lot easier than listening to a baby crying.
Right. That's definitely it. That's the only thing that makes me feel better about that clip.
Either way, it's a baby.
It's a baby. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no question about that. It's a baby, and I don't know what kind of range your mics have. I don't even know actually. That the mic is picking up the sound anyway, and I guess we ought to talk about that. Could it be, and do you wonder if it's some other element in the recording device picking this up? In other words, somehow being imprinted on the recording device.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's something we've always wondered about. And yeah, I don't know. We've tried before using a recorder with no mic whatsoever. The mic was actually cut out of it and didn't pick up anything. The microphone has to have something to do with it. I'm just not sure what.
Nor am I. Number 10 was creepy. Either way, I guess, laughing or crying, it was creepy, folks. Now we're going to move on to, if this doesn't give you the, if you can listen to this program and listen to all we're talking about and not get the creeps from this, then my congratulations go out to you. Egyptian, what does that mean?
The Egyptian is actually the Egyptian theater, and it's an old Art Deco style theater in Ogden, Utah. They actually use it to screen Sundance Film Festival films.
Uh-huh.
And we were asked to go investigate there. And this clip was actually recorded in the basement area. And it was, we had set the recorder in this basement area and just left it. And I think it was left there for 2, maybe 3 hours. There was absolutely no sound whatsoever except for you hear this woman say, "Don't open this door." It's one of the weirdest things I think I've ever heard because, I mean, there's nothing really leading up to it. It just, a woman just says, "Don't open this door."
All right, here it comes. Number 11.
Don't open this door.
Wow.
Don't open this door. Don't open this door.
Very clear. Very, very clear. Now, perhaps this woman was suggesting that what you were doing was going to open a door.
You know,
I don't mean a wood door. I mean a door to a place that you should, ought not be opening.
I did actually think that when I heard this. I didn't really see how else you could look at it other than thinking that's what she meant. But again, it's really hard to say.
How about you, Barbara?
I can see where you would go there, Art.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to do it again, but it's very clear. And could she mean exactly what we just said, that you had better not open this door because what comes through you may not be pleased with? Number 11.
Don't open this door. Don't open this door.
Man, have you ever had a spirit? I've asked you this before, but I'll do it again because so many people ask the question. Follow you home.
We have had that happen on a few occasions where we believe it's something has followed us home. Whenever I leave a location, I always ask them to stay where they are, that they're not welcome to come home with us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the ones that have come home with us, the few times that it's happened, I think that they were probably kind of transient in nature when they were alive. We've had, you know.
Well, it's interesting that you ask that because after we did this Artists and Heirlooms investigation at the beginning of October, our 3-year-old son has suddenly started being afraid of our closet. He's never been like that. And now, I mean, I literally was the night after we did the investigation. He is terrified of, you know, this big walk-in closet that we have. He says there's a man in there, you know, and kind of 3-year-old speak. And the interesting thing about the closet is that is where we keep all our ghost investigating equipment. So, I don't know if it has something to do with that, or it's just coincidence, or what it is, but it's a little bit disturbing.
If something serious occurred, would it be enough I mean, after all, you do, as you just mentioned, you've got a three-year-old, as do I. So if something serious happened, would that cause you to quit?
Yeah. It would at least me. To give you an example, my wife's sister passed away in her sleep suddenly about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, she was only 24.
Oh, my.
And my wife had an extremely hard time doing anything with this for about a year afterwards. She didn't even really want to talk about it. Because, you know, it's one thing when we're out doing our investigations and interviewing people and, mm-hmm. you know, we're so off to the side of it, it doesn't affect us personally. But to have something like that happen within the family and then realize, you know, these people that we're recording, these are real people, just like, you know, my wife's sister was. That, you know, it was even hard for me for a little bit.
Okay. This stuff actually scares me a little bit. You know, it's Halloween, but it works. It really does scare me a little bit. We're moving on to a museum, the Hutchins Museum.
Yes.
All right. We're going to actually. I've got to. If I don't take these breaks, they get really upset with me. So I'm going to take a break, and then when we come back, it'll be Hutchins Museum. Okay. This is no negative reflection on you all at all. But I was talking to my board operator during the break, and I was saying, you know, this really seems real to me. I can't find any holes in it. It really feels like the real thing, and it does. And my board operator said, yep, as you listen, you know, these two, they're not good enough actors to pull this off. And I guess that's right. And again, it's no negative anything on you two. It's just that you really aren't good enough actors to be pulling this off. There's nothing fake about this. It's real McCoy. I don't know how to say it any better than he said it.
That's the best compliment I've ever had.
Okie dokie. Whatever it is, it's not you guys faking it. That's for sure. All right. We're going to the Hutchins Museum as promised. Number 12. Tell me about it.
All right. Brendan was down in the basement of this museum by himself, and he's explaining like we do. If there's noise, we explain what it is, and you can hear him say, okay, there's some odd humming in the background. It's the furnace. And I've heard some banging, no big deal. That also comes from the furnace. Other than that, I haven't noticed anything weird. But in the background, and in fact, this is one of the voices, Brendan is talking over her. You'll hear a woman singing, and this is a different language. And we would like to know if anyone knows what this language is, because none of us speak a foreign language.
Okay. Listen very carefully. So some sort of foreign language, somebody might be able to help us out with number 12. Here it is.
Okay, there is a odd humming in the background, the furnace. I've heard some banging. No big deal. That also comes from the furnace. Other than that, I haven't noticed anything weird. I can hear people walking around upstairs. That's no big deal. I am downstairs by myself. Anything weird. If I can hear people walking around upstairs, that's no big deal. Thing weird. If I can hear people walking around upstairs, that's no big deal.
Maybe it's my brain. I could swear I heard her say for you to, or sing for you to something in English, but maybe not. Gosh, I don't know, but you're right. We brought it up earlier, and sure enough, here is one where, you know, you're interrupting her, she's interrupting you, whatever. And we're going to play it again because we want people to listen very closely. They think it's a foreign language. Do you have any guesses about what language?
We've actually had people say they think it's Polish.
Polish. Well, maybe somebody out there will get it. Please, everybody, listen very carefully as we play number 12 one more time.
Okay, there is a odd humming in the background, the furnace. I've heard some banging. No big deal. That also comes from the furnace. Other than that, I haven't noticed anything weird. If I can hear people walking around upstairs, that's no big deal. I am downstairs by myself. Anything weird. If I can hear people walking around upstairs, that's no big deal. Anything weird. If I can hear people walking around upstairs, that's no big deal.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to jump in there. I just... mic was open. The next one is going to be also apparently in another language. So, and we're coming up on a break. So I don't think we have enough time to present the next one. But you're okay. Let's give it a try. Number 13. Same museum. This time though, it's a man instead of a woman. Correct.
Correct. And this one, we've had people say this one sounds Native American.
Native American, okay. Let's find out. Number 13, please.
The shelves house artifacts, different historical things, arrowheads. I've been told one of the boxes has a scalp that was found on the side of the road somewhere that is human. So that's wonderful. What else? It is dusty. Video and photography would be absolutely useless. Useless.
Boy, the human brain really tries to fill in the blanks. And again, you're suggesting Polish?
No, on that one, we've had people say it's Native American.
Native American.
Yeah, we don't
That's
speak
right.
any foreign say. Languages, so it's. I can't make any English out of either one of those two voices.
All right, we've only got a very short time. Number 13, one more time, please.
The shelves house artifacts, different historical things, arrowheads. I've been told one of the boxes has a scalp that was found on the side of the road somewhere that is human. So that's wonderful. What else? It is dusty. Video and photography would be absolutely useless.
All right, you're going to have an opportunity now to fast blast me during the break on both number 12 and number 13, both possibly recorded voices in a different language. I'm not sure. My brain tries to put English words into what I'm hearing. And in the first one, it did successfully a couple or two or three words in the middle. I'm not sure. But I want to know what you all think. So if you would take the time to fast blast what you heard, we'll review all that when we come back. So, again, all of this is doing as it normally does when we do these kinds of shows, these shows on EVP. It freaks me out a little bit. It honestly scares me a little bit. And if it scares you a little bit, I understand. What could it be? If it's not the sound of human voices that once were alive, then what is it? Another dimension? Another time? Another planet? I don't have any idea. I just know we're hearing something. It is, and if this doesn't get to you, then I suspect not much we do on the air would. It gets to me. All right, very quickly, Terry in Bayside, California says number 12 is Polish, and I'd hazard that it's a non-native speaker, perhaps second generation. Richard in Northridge, California, Art, I clearly hear the Spanish word dinero, which means money in English. Alan in Monroe, New York, I can hear the Indian voice shaking a gourd instrument. Interesting. Lane in Rosemead, California says, hi, Art. I think number two is saying, Mama, Sister 2, Mama, and Sister 2. What do you think? I don't know. Blaze in Winnipeg, Manitoba, the number 12 clip definitely sounds Polish. I believe it to be a Catholic Christmas carol. Oh, that's interesting. Keith in upstate New York, 12 sounds, Eastern European, a Lithuanian lullaby, possibly. And Mary in Anchorage, Alaska, I remember hearing that child singing in the foreign language. Some time ago, when your guests played that recording, a caller said she recognized it as a child singing a popular Polish children's song. I'm surprised your guests don't remember that. Do my guests remember that?
Well, I know we have played the number 12 clip before, but I don't recall anybody being able to say what it was. I do. You just mentioned that somebody said it was a Polish Christmas song.
Yes.
And we've actually had two people say that it was a Polish Christmas carol, but they weren't able to give us the translation for it.
Okay, good enough. All right, you two stand by. Break time. I don't want to forget the break. We'll be right back. Well, okay, Tony in Medford, Oregon has a kind of an interesting question. Art, would you please ask your guests if they've ever picked up EVPs of animals, dogs, cats, so forth?
Yeah, we have. We've picked up growling.
An obvious animal growling?
Yeah. I mean, it sounded like, in fact, I've recorded that on a couple of different occasions. One time, there was a woman, an EVP that said, it was a woman's voice that said, I'm a kitty cat, and then it was like a, almost sounded like a mountain lion snarling.
really? Oh, isn't that fascinating? I thought I had asked you about that in the past, and you had, I think you had said you never recorded an animal before, but you have.
Oh, yeah, we have, and we've recorded what sounded like, well, we had an experience outside of a mausoleum where we could hear dogs bark, like a dog barking, but we should have recorded that. It should have picked up because we were talking about it. You could hear us talking about it on the recorder, but we could not hear the animal at the time when it was recorded. You know, I mean, it wasn't recorded on the recorder.
Wow. Well, I'm sure I'll offend some people with this, but, you know, for many years, I have thought that if we have souls, well, I have cats. You know, I have cats. I'm a cat person. And I look at these cats, and you can see it in their eyes. They have emotions. They're jealous. They get upset. They even get angry. They have a full range of if it's an inside animal and you live with them, you know they have souls. If we have souls, they have souls. And
I guess
a lot of people don't. You know, I guess the Bible says that or suggests that only we have souls, I've been told. But I know better. If we have them,
reasoning, I think everything that's alive has a soul.
Uh-huh. I agree with you. I don't know. I don't know if an ant has a soul, but with animals that you live with, mammals that you live with, if we do, they do. And I'll leave it at that before I get in more trouble. All right, well, let's move on. Number 14, this is the place Heritage Park. What is Heritage Park?
Well, it's a location in Utah where when the Mormon pilgrims came across the Rocky Mountains and into the Salt Lake Valley, their leader, Brigham Young, said this is the place. And that's what became Salt Lake.
I see. Are you Mormon?
And yes. Not a practicing one, but yeah, I was raised Mormon.
Brennan?
Catholic.
Catholic.
We're all different.
All right. So anyway, on to number 14. What is it?
This park is they've brought in a lot of old historical homes into this park and different buildings from the pioneer days. And have made it a park. And they've experienced a lot of ghost activity in some of the buildings, and we were there on an investigation, and Brendan was in one of the houses, and he was by himself, and you're going to hear him say, I'm going to walk down and try to find Brian, who was the head of this park. Let me look here. The time stamp is 8:23, so at 8:23 I'm leaving now, and you hear him close the door. And then a man says, get out.
Number 14.
I'm going to walk down and try and find Brian. So let me look here. Timestamp is 8:23. So at 8:23, I am now leaving.
That's way too clear. Too clear, and it's also angry. It is what it is. Get out. Not good. Not good.
But you know us, we always go back to the location that we're told to get out of. So.
Yeah. I wouldn't. I'm being honest with you. I wouldn't. If I came home and I turned on my recorder, even after the hours, and I heard that, would I go back? No, I would not. Let's do it again. Clear as it was, we'll do it again. Listen to the tone of the voice. What's being said is clear.
I'm going to walk down and try and find Brian. So let me look here. Timestamp is 8:23. So at 8:23, I am now leaving.
I don't know what to say about that. It's what it is. Number 15, please.
Yeah. Well, number 15, this was, again, recorded in the same building as the previous voice. And whatever was in this place just didn't seem to like me. It just seemed to want to mess with me or make me upset. And in this clip, you're gonna see why. You know, I was in the house by myself. I had our two-way radio so I could contact everybody else, you know, who were spread out all over the park. The park is huge. I mean, it's comprised of, I think, 40-something buildings, I believe.
At least.
So, I mean, we were all spread out in different buildings, and the only way to keep in contact was with these radios. Well, my radio started to malfunction. I was talking to everybody perfectly fine, and then all of a sudden it stopped. I tried radioing them, and I didn't hear anything. And this clip, you're going to hear me doing that, and it's almost like something keeps coming in and trying to, I don't know, just mess with me, I guess is the best way to describe it. I talked to the rest of the investigators, and they claim they never heard me when I was trying to radio them, even though whatever's messing with the radio, it sounds like it, you know, it had heard me. Anyway, all this happens, radio goes off, and at the very end, when you hear me just get so frustrated with not being able to, you know, contact them, you're going to hear it's an EVP of a woman that she says that was funny.
Okay, well, an apparent sense of humor on the other side, I don't know. Number 15, please.
Okay, what was that? I know I'm not just magically picking stuff up here. Okay. I was talking to you guys perfectly not even a few minutes ago. Hello? This is fantastic. Yep. I'm getting your page.
kind of sounded like a kid.
Okay, this ain't cool. Yeah, okay. I'm getting your pages. Why can't you answer me? Okay, I've got your page. Can you hear me now? I couldn't understand anything you just said. It comes in for, like, not even a second. And if I have to walk 10 houses down, I'm going to be upset.
Okay, I'm putting this down.
Seriously?
I'm shutting this off. I'm great. Hopefully that wasn't worth anything. Okay.
That's a long clip. We won't play that again. But, you know, I thought she was saying that was funky. Not funny.
And very possibly she did, you know.
Either way, gee, Brendan, you sounded a little frustrated there. I could hear the pages coming and everything. That was.
I was not happy. I mean, it was cold outside. I think it was almost snowing that night. And I was just thinking, I'm going to have to walk, you know, like a half a mile to find anybody else.
And that was so responsive. Either way, it was funny or funky, it was responsive.
Right.
All right. I want to be sure we get to open lines in the last hour, because I want, if people can shoot holes in what we're hearing tonight, I want to hear what they are. Number 16, please. What's number 16?
Okay, this is in the same house. Barry experienced the same type of thing, noises and stuff going on in that house on a different occasion when we were there. And it was like whoever is in there doesn't like anybody in there. You're going to hear Brendan trying to radio us again.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hello, does nobody's radio work? And there's loud radio static, and then there's a EVP that says, I don't like you.
Hmm. Number 16, roll it.
Hello. Okay. Does nobody's radio work? Oh, my.
Oh, that's so clear. Obviously, not a friendly place, not a friendly voice, and not a happy camper at all.
not so much.
I wouldn't be going back there. I just wouldn't do it. I'm going to play it again, number 16, one more time.
Hello. Okay. Does nobody's radio work? Oh, my.
Altogether too clear. My goodness. You know, that's so clear. It's so emotional. It's so unambiguous. He didn't like you. And in the previous clip, let's go to the Victorian mansion.
All right. Yeah, this was an old Victorian mansion, late 1800s, in Utah. And it's one that we've investigated quite a few times, and we've got some really good EVP out of this place over the years. In this clip, you're just going to hear Barbara say, will you come and be with us? You know, the standard thing that she says. And then this man's voice comes in and says, will you come and stay with us?
Yeah, an invitation to the other side, maybe. All right, number 17, please.
Can you come and be with us?
Can you come and stay with us? Very clear, I thought. Very clear. Low audio, but I could easily make it out. Will you come and stay with us? I think not. I don't know what to say. Let's just move on to number 18.
All right. This place is probably four stories high, Victorian style. And we had had quite a few experiences on this particular night, and the homeowner is saying that up on the very top level is probably where they stay because they know that the owners don't go up there that often. And you'll hear a man say goodnight.
Okay, number 18.
This is probably where they are because they know we don't come up here.
Not good. Say goodnight. And the way it's said is, you know, it's the end for you.
Yeah.
Say
goodnight.
Not good. Number 18, one more time, please.
This is probably where they are because they know we don't come up here.
You know, you could regard that as a threat. You really could take it that way, as a threat.
Well, I almost took the last two, 17 and 18, as kind of...
possible threats.
I don't know, ominous, yeah.
Right. Come and stay with us. We're over here.
It's all in your perspective.
I suppose. Number 19 and the last one.
All right. Now, this one, you just hear me asking, are you by yourself? How big are you? And I was by myself when I was asking this. And you're going to hear this child's voice say, she knows you're alone.
She knows you're alone. Oh, God. All right. Number 19.
Are you by yourself? How big are you?
The word knows is not as clear as it might be, but she, something, you're alone, that part's clear. I'm not sure about knows. I'd like to hear that one more time, and so we shall. Number 19, listen carefully.
Are you by yourself? How big are you?
All right, there you have it. That is tonight's roster of voices from wherever. And it's creepy stuff, you two. Absolutely creepy stuff. I want to give the audience an opportunity in this next hour to either comment on what they heard or, perhaps even better, try and shoot holes in everything you've heard. Try and shoot holes in it. Come on ahead. If you think it's, I don't know, fake or radios or cell phones or whatever you think it might be other than voices from the other side, then let's rock and roll. You've got the phone numbers. If not, we'll give them when we get back from Manila in the Philippines. I'm Art Bell. I cannot think of anything that'd be creepier than what you've heard tonight for Halloween, and just generally creepier anytime you hear it. Dan in Bakersfield, California said, what explanation, Art, does conventional science give for EVPs? And have there been any scientifically controlled experiments to replicate the phenomena? It's both are very good questions, and I wonder if either one of you, just before the break, can answer either one of those questions. In other words, what does, when you submit this or talk to scientists, what do they say? And scientists love to replicate things. That's what science is, replication. Has any scientist been able to replicate this?
They really really haven't. I do know that in Germany, and Germany is one of the front runners in EVP research right now, and they have, well, actually have been for quite some time. I am aware that there are different scientists there working on some kind of a controlled experiment with EVP. Last I heard, it's still a few months away before, you know, they actually get any kind of results or any data from it.
Well, clearly what we've heard demands an explanation, because I sure as heck can't find one. So, all right, we're going to pause. The lines are all full for you two, and we'll see what the audience has to say in a moment. One quick note before we get going on the phones here, and that is Ghost to Ghost coming up on Halloween Eve, and it'll be just us, open lines, and just ghost stories. Only one ghost story per customer. Only the scariest need apply. Give us a short version when you get the screener on that night, and there will be a screener, so that we can separate spirits from each other, as it were. And if you have a short ghost story and you'd like to get it over here to the other side of the world and perhaps hear it read on the air, then please email it to me. The email address is artbell@mindspring.com. That's A-R-T-B-E-L-L at mindspring.com. And as long as we're on the subject of contact, there is a way to contact GIS. You have a website, correct?
Yes, it's ghostpix, and that's P-I-X.com.
Ghostpix.com. That's easy. And up there you have recordings that can be reviewed that go back probably a decade or so, eh?
Yeah, actually a decade. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. I just now updated the site with the audio played from tonight. So that's on the homepage right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. There will be questions, and here they come. Let's go first to Pennsylvania. Lynn in Pennsylvania, you're on the air with the GIS. Good morning.
Hi, Art. How are you? I have a comment and a quick question. On the last one that was played on 19, I think they asked, are you by yourself? And I thought the child said, I'm never alone.
Okay. It was supposed to be she knows you're alone, or that's what they thought it was. And
to me, it sounded like I'm never alone.
Okay.
It came over really clear. I mean, that's what it seemed like they said.
All right.
I wanted to know, when they get a ghost that likes them, like the poor guy that said don't leave, would they ever go back and try to have a conversation with him? I know it would take like a week to do, but if they would ask him, like say his name, leave the recorder, and then come back and see if he said anything. And if it does, like try to do that over a period of a week to find out who he is, if there's heaven, why is he here? Have they ever done that?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been plenty of times where we've recorded the same voice a couple of times, and we go back and ask for that person to, you know, contact us again. And we will leave a recorder just going, asking specifically for that person to contact us. Rarely does it happen. In fact, one of the things we've noticed is when we go to places and we record a certain voice, the next time we come back, it's almost like they leave because they know that we've recorded them, that they now passed on, and they've suddenly realized, oh, you know what, I'm a ghost. I don't need to be here anymore. So rarely do we record the same voice over and over again. But when we do, we certainly do go back and try and keep in contact with that entity.
Okay. All right. Let's see, Puget Sound, Washington. Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Galadriel. I'm a long, long-time listener, Art. Loved your show.
Thank you.
What I'd like to know is if you've ever had, like, a psychic or someone that is clairaudient go with you and see what they pick up?
If I knew that someone really had that ability legitimately,
mm-hmm.
I'd have no problem in having somebody like that go.
Yeah, but
the trouble is, I don't know of anybody personally that has that ability.
Yeah,
and really, here's our thing is this. I mean, what we're doing is considered paranormal. It's not accepted by science. And all we're trying to do is show some kind of tangible evidence, I guess you could say. I don't want to call it evidence because, you know, you can't really do that. But some kind of tangible thing where people can hear it and go, oh, yeah, well, you know, at least I hear something.
Right.
Our thing is, if we bring in a psychic, that's another paranormal thing that we're bringing into our investigation. So it's almost mm-hmm. like using the paranormal to prove sort of the paranormal, which just doesn't
right.
doesn't really work.
That would work for me.
Well, that's because you're a believer. You have faith.
I wouldn't have a problem if I really knew of somebody that had that ability, that there was just no question about their ability. But since I don't, I would not even want that there.
Very, very interesting. So you're sort of a skeptic.
No, I believe that people have that ability, but I think they're very limited and very few people. And I'd really have to know for sure that 100% that there would be no doubt about that ability for a person to.
You're a skeptic.
We have.
I mean, you really are a skeptic. All right. Well,
let's go ahead.
Okay. Ralph in San Antonio, you're on the air with the GIS. Good morning.
Hello, Art. Hi, my name is Ralph. I'm from San Antonio, Texas.
Right.
Yes, sir. My question was involving that one EVP file that had somebody singing where it sounded like when Polish, what number was that again? 12?
12.
Yeah, 12.
To me, it sounded more like it was in Russian.
Okay, do you speak Russian?
A little bit, not a lot. Just and I even sing in Russian. I know a couple songs, and one of the songs that sounded like was a song that I know called "Katyusha." It's a love song that was written in World War II.
Okay, I have a question for you, sir. Listening to the show, have you heard almost the whole show or a big part of it?
I beg your pardon?
Have you heard the whole show or a big part of it?
Yes.
What do you think of this?
Well, what do I think of as far as, like, you know, the realistic basis of, you mean, the EVPs and whatnot, you mean?
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, I think it's genuine, but, see, I'm at work right now. My coworker here next to me, we're driving, he thinks y'all are full of it, but I don't side with it. Yeah, in fact, I listen to y'all, and he's asked me, do you believe that stuff, Jimmy? And I'm like, well, yeah, and he's like, well, you're smoking crack.
Huh.
Yeah, and we're
okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, and we're security guards, and my partner here, he's a former police officer with the narcotics division.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's funny him. It's funny that
that's
out.
All right.
Yeah,
so he's the one who thinks we're on crack.
No, he's the one that thinks I'm on crack.
I see. All right. Well, stay cool. Okay, well, there you go. I guess that's fairly typical of the kind of responses you get. We're going to find out as we continue to sample the audience reaction. And that is what I want, some of the overall reaction to this. In other words, what do you believe? What do you believe of what you're hearing? Randy in Pasadena, California, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, Manila. I wanted to... comment on the EBT where the gentleman said, this is my room. I wanted to say that right before he said that, it sounded like he's crying, and I wanted to say that it sounds like he's full of joy. It sounded more like it was a joyful experience, and then the little boy that spoke after that was him. It was the same person speaking, but it was speaking when he may have been a little boy when he lived there, but it was being spoken as his childhood.
Do you mean the little boy that says, I didn't eat today?
Yeah, that was, he was reminiscing when he was, it was speaking as to reminisce. He was reminiscing when he was living there as a boy, and that's why it said, I didn't eat today. So it was him sharing the room, saying, this is where I used to live at, and then he remembered and reminisced when he was a child. He didn't have any food or he didn't eat that day. And that it came, and what was heard was his childhood speak. It was his, when he was a boy, it was a reminiscing speaking out loud, if that makes any sense. Also the spot in Utah, it was really funny because, it sounds like to me that your camcord and your microphone, the body's like playing games with you, saying get out, you know, like those haunted movies, and it sounds like it was playing with you, like a little kid played.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of how I took it.
Well, okay, we're getting a lot of very individual comments on these recordings. I'm hoping to get some more generalized comments about what you think of the whole EVP recording thing. I mean, do you think we're, you know, somebody here is on crack, or do you think there's really something to it? And if so, what do you think it is? Do you think we're actually hearing voices from the other side? Jason in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Brendan. Hi, Barbara. Hi.
Hello.
Art.
Hi.
Art Bell. You guys are on with Art Bell. And I also want to say hi to 15 million listeners. Come on. All right. I'll get to my question. My question is, do you think there's a connection between the ETs and what you're hearing? Is there, maybe it's the same frequency. Maybe there's third dimensions. There's fourth dimensions. There's different dimensions. And I don't know if you listen to David Icke or David Wilcock or any of these people that talk about this. That we have reptilians. We have different dimensions. I mean, that's what this is based on, I think. It's,
well, maybe.
You've seen UFOs through the night vision goggles, right, Art?
No, that's George. I've seen a UFO twice with just my plain old eyes. So, you know, the alien question, I suppose, is legitimate. In other words, could it be non-human?
Right, and that goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show. Is, you know, are these the voices of people that have lived and died, and for some reason they're here, or are they some other dimension, or I guess he said aliens? And it's just something that's so hard to be able, and, you know, I don't know that you'd actually be able to say for sure one way or the other. I mean, you could ask them like we do and say, you know, did you die here, things like that, and sometimes get a response, but even that, does that mean that that's actually a human being that you, you know, was living at one point?
Yeah, fair enough. To New Mexico brings us Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very well.
All right. I got to admit, there's a possibility. I mean, anything is possible, apparently. But I'm not really convinced, because what people are saying is being heard is a voice, but it's impossible. How it cannot be a voice. There's no vocal cords. There's no body, no tissue, no breath, no thoughts. I don't see how it's possible for something to make a noise without being able to vocalize physically.
Well, you're exactly right. In other words, never or almost never have these two actually heard out loud with their ears what's being imprinted somehow on these recording devices.
Right, right. It's an extremely good point that you're bringing up, and it's been one of the biggest questions, you know, since EVP research has started. It's been well over 50 years now. I mean, how do these voices appear on tape and recordings, and when nothing's heard at the time, these, you know, if it's a ghost, it obviously doesn't have, like you said, vocal cords or any physical way of making sound. And we have theories all over the place, from they're manipulating somehow sound in the atmosphere, ambient sound that's already there, and they're using that to basically make their voice. They're manipulating electromagnetic fields. Somehow they're using that to create their voice. I mean, as far as I know, there's just no way right now to tell. The only thing we can say is, and we say this every time, if, you know, you're skeptical about it, but interested in it, you know, it doesn't hurt to do your own recording somewhere. I mean, everybody has something that can record sound. And, yes, it may look a little bit crazy for a minute, but, you know, I mean, it doesn't hurt to just try try it for yourself.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough once to catch an EVP myself, and it was on my cell phone. It was just the most random thing. I was doing a skit recording to send out to my friends of just some comedy that I was putting out, and it managed to pick up an EVP while I was there. And when I listened to it, because they told me there was a voice in the background, they kind of wondered who it was. So I listened to the recording, and there was something there other than myself, and I didn't believe it. I mean,
that actually happens more than most people would think. There's actually an EVP on our site of a woman who is recording a greeting message to her husband in Iraq, and she's doing it with her webcam. And there's a voice that comes in right behind her after she says something about, you know, I love you, honey, something like that. And then there's this creepy man's voice behind her that says, say goodbye.
Really? I would be suspicious of anything on a cell phone. He mentioned a cell phone. You know, lines get crossed all the time. And so in the case of what you all are doing, I remember back in the tape days when you were doing it with tape, you would always make sure that you had a brand new tape. Nothing had ever been recorded on it. Here in the digital age, what kind of precaution do you take to ensure that there's nothing on the medium that you're using?
Well, I mean, there really isn't. In my case, I'm using a notebook computer that is specifically just used to record audio.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I'm patching in a mixing board and then the condenser mic into that. Everything is separate files. I break down when we're on an investigation into half-hour increments. We do have some protocols for doing that, but it's certainly not like tape where you had to worry about bleed through from the other side or
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. It's just a completely different thing now.
What would be the main? So you use your computer. You're to the point where you're using what, a laptop?
Yes, I have a notebook computer that's just specifically for recording audio.
Mm-hmm. Do you take only one with you on these investigations, or do you take multiple?
Sometimes we do take two. Barbara still uses a handheld digital recorder. The other members still use handheld digital recorders. I'm just pretty much just doing the straight notebook computer and the condenser mic now.
Okay. Well, that certainly makes sense. But no matter what you have used, from the old recording tape devices to the newer stuff, you always, as long as you have a mic plugged in.
Right.
Which doesn't make any sense because these are not audible voices. But as long as that mic is plugged in, and I'm going to have to think about that. Maybe somebody's got an answer to that one. Why would the mic have to be plugged in? Because otherwise the recording circuit is doing its thing. All right. Half hour break time. GIS would be our guest. I'm Art Bell. This is Ghost. Well, not yet. Soon. Here I am. And we've got the GIS with us, and if ever there's been a creepy show, this is the one. I mean, I'd like to hear from you. What do you think? Is it all a big fake? What else? What other explanation could be possible? They're being faked? No, I don't think so. I've never thought so. There's something to it. I just don't know what. We've got a couple of interesting comments from listeners. Has anyone used two identical recorders, same circuitry, side by side, to see if both pick up the same EVP? What do you say?
We've had five.
You've had as many as five?
Five, yeah.
That have all picked up the same EVP?
Yeah. And then what's more interesting is there's times where they don't. They could be side by side and one picks up an EVP, the other one doesn't, and then they can be side by side, and they all pick it up.
Wow. Eric in St. Louis says EVPs are probably electromagnetic and are being picked up on the coils of antenna and in microphones via induction. That's certainly possible. I have no answers, but lots of questions like the audience. I'll tell you what. We'll take Juan's call and then do a break. Juan in Baldwin Park, California, you're on the air.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone doing?
Hi.
Good. Hey, yes. Honestly, my opinion to the EVP, I think it has to be realistic. I mean, it has to be some sort of other dimension, some sort of a communication. I mean, this thing can't really just happen. Just, I mean, no one could just record someone else's voice. I mean, it seems too real to me. Why? Because I had something similar happen to myself. I mean, it might sound crazy to you guys, but I actually heard a voice calling out my name, and it sounded close to my ear. And I had 7 hours of sleep. I was sober, and this happened like around, 1:30 a.m.? And this happened in Mexico, actually. And, I mean, the recordings that I'm hearing, it just seems too, it can't be fake. I mean, I believe this stuff. It sounds too real. I mean, there has to be some sort of a high dimension. I mean, like you said, I can't really explain it, but it's something that's communicating with us and trying to say something. Oh, I'm gonna get in the cars.
I'm with you all the way, Juan. It may not be a popular view. It sounds like they're coming to get you.
Well,
listen, my friend, thank you.
I was just going to say, to add to that, I mean, how many people, Art, you mentioned this earlier, how many people are out there doing the exact same thing? I mean, it's
many.
Not just us. There are thousands and thousands all over the world doing it.
Many. And if you think we're smoking crack or whatever, then I suggest you get a recording device and go out and give it a shot yourself. Now, when they do that, when they do go out, let me ask you, do you think that they should, any number of hours they should spend, you want them to go to a quiet place, perhaps even a cemetery, whatever?
I would say at least an hour.
At least an hour. And then come home and carefully review the entire tape. Don't get bored and say, there's nothing here.
And I would listen to it with headphones, because a lot of times the voice is so soft you would not even hear it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier, that these clips that we're playing on the show tonight, I mean, they're almost kind of spoiling you in a way. You're listening for clips that are that loud. That's not the case. I mean, most of the time they are very whispery and quiet and in the background, and, you know, they're normally not this loud at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go try it yourself, folks. That's
and
my
advice.
Invite
them to talk with you, you know, just... We found that the majority of times when we get EVP, it's when we are talking among each other or with the homeowner, or very rarely do we get a voice when there is nobody talking.
Okay. All right. To Bob, east of the Rockies somewhere. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
I listened to both of your guests before on a show you did a couple years ago, and went out and tried it, and, you know, went down in the basement, asked a few questions, nothing. Then tried it, was asking no questions, and started getting all these voices, and they actually were responding to me. I had a couple respond to me. I had one that gave me a date, and then one or two random ones.
Mm-hmm.
And 100% it works. I mean, my house isn't haunted or anything. It works.
No, it does work. Over the years, we've invited people to do this themselves, and I can't tell you the number of emails I've had, you know, from people saying, oh, my God, and then sending me the EVP they recorded in email.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, I did it and played it for my mom. She said, oh, that's weird, whatever. She went down in the basement. We tried it. As I'm explaining it to her, we hear something in the background. You know, and I think it's weird, you know, people go to cemeteries, abandoned buildings, but I think you get better results in places with more electricity stuff going on rather than, you know, dead areas.
You know, and I've actually heard that. I've heard that before, that places that have more of an electrical field around it produces more results. I personally haven't found that, but I have heard plenty of people who have.
Well, it's energy. That's right. For sure. It's energy coming from somewhere. Wichita, Kansas brings Ross. Hi, Ross.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm okay.
Good. Nice to talk to you. A couple of things. I think that, you know, you have to ask yourself, what else can it be? And the earlier caller mentioned something about, well, there's no vocal cords or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But people without vocal cords still are able to communicate through another medium. and it's all a matter of moving air, and the fact that you have the electric microphones there, you know, indicates to me that it has something to do with some way they're manipulating the air in order to get their voices heard.
Correct. And that's actually probably, as I mentioned, the most popular theory right now. It's just actually testing it to find out if that's the case. And that's, I think, where everybody's kind of getting stuck on how to do that.
Yeah. One quick thing, too. On the one recording where you ask where the man with the felt hat is, it sounds to me as if he says, "I'm hidden in back."
Oh, hey.
Really?
That works.
Yeah. It really did.
Instead of "I hit his back,"
yeah,
I'm hidden in back.
I'm hidden in back. Okay, caller, thank you very much. We're going to review that one right now. We're going to go back to number four. The question about the man wearing the felt hat. Number four, if you can.
Is the man that wears the felt hat here? Will you speak to us?
Guess what? I agree with the caller.
It could be, yes.
You don't suppose there's a body back there, do you?
Yeah, they're very well kept in that place, actually.
I'm hidden in the back. By God, that's what it sounded like. All right. All we can do is move forward. Fort Myers, Florida. Blaine, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Before I even tell you my little story or whatever, I just wanted to comment on what you said about your cats. And, like, I had a cat named Dusty, and I had a lot of other cats, too. I think there's, like, other levels of intelligence in cats, just like in anything else. And, like, this cat I had named Dusty, I mean, his eyes, he would look at me, and I know he was he was very intelligent. And he knew everything I thought, and he would even say mommy and everything, and just like, and so I do believe everything you said.
It's a consciousness.
It's a consciousness, and he died after 12 years old, and he had cancer, and we'll love him forever. But the other thing that I wanted to say was, is the spirits, maybe they might talk and have these EVPs, but the biggest experience I ever had in my life was that back in 1971, my sister was killed in a car accident. I was 21 and she was 17, and like we shared this room together and everything, and we had like, you know, stereo and everything, and her big thing was the stereo and the records back in 1971. And it was about a week after she had passed away in this fatal car accident and everything, and I was sitting in my room just like crying and everything about it and everything, and nobody, she had the night that she had went out and was playing some records on the stereo and everything, and nobody had ever touched the stereo or the record or anything since she passed away. It was just too painful, and nobody ever touched that. And so all of a sudden this voice came in my head, like, play it. And I looked over to the stereo where me and my sister had twin beds and everything, and there was the record where she had played when she was getting ready to go out that night and everything. And the whole record was, like, full of dust where nobody had ever touched it and everything, and the hand was sitting on like the second song, and I thought, oh my God, and there's this big voice that said, play it, and everything. So I said, okay, okay, you know, I was like unresistible, and I played it, and the song was "Don't Let It Bring You Down" by Neil Young, which is the story of which recites a car accident that happens at like the wee hours of the morning and everything. Wow. That's how my sister died, was a fatal car accident in the wee hours of the morning. And
that's some story.
Yeah, it really is. And it recited the whole, actually just recited the whole way she died in the car accident at 3 o'clock in the morning and all that.
Actually, that story is worthy of Ghost to Ghost AM, which is coming up on the 31st. In fact, I almost said this is Ghost to Ghost AM and coming into the last break. So don't forget, folks, we are doing ghost stories on the 31st, and it's pure open line stuff. Right now, it's GIS and voices that simply cannot be explained. Let us go to Toronto, Canada, and Connie.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Okay, Connie.
Great. I'm calling about your question about why is it that it only gets recorded if there's a mic, and also in regards to the person who said that he doesn't understand how anybody can talk without, you know, muscle and so forth. The part about the mic is it could be as simple as common sense that the ghosts are actually waiting for a mic to be plugged in, thinking, well, nobody's going to be able to hear or record us without a mic, and therefore they actually wait for it as well.
And that's also possible.
About the, you know, needing lips, tongue, muscle, we only use all that for the actual phonetics, the actual sound, but we have the vibration and everything and the vocal cords. And if you look at cancer patients who have had surgery, you know, on the trachea, and they have that box that takes the vibrations, right. And you can hear what they're saying. I mean, mm-hmm. if you take all of that, then they don't actually need muscle tone, because after all the time that they've been dead, they've had time to practice. They've had time to figure out how they could use their energy to make actual, you know, the phonetic sounds with vibration they already have.
Just one question. How did the crying baby figure all that out?
I don't know if it had to figure it out on its own. Maybe it was taught slowly, as it would be if it was alive, to do almost anything else.
Well said. I have no explanation for all of this. I believe it.
My question,
yes?
If it's okay, you know the individual who was talking about needing all the physical aspects to actually speak? Does that mean that he's completely pushing out theories or ideas like telepathy, any other way of communicating? Via, you know, where you can actually hear the person's voice. I mean, it's not recorded because you're the only one hearing it, but still telepathy and everything else. If you're actually hearing the sounds and the words, again, this is without a physical being. So I assume that means none of these theories jive with him. Or
okay. Well, your reaction, folks?
Well, no. I mean, it's certainly true. I mean, what she's saying makes sense. And that's really, I guess, the only way I could look at it is it's either some kind of a telepathy thing on the ghost part or, you know, as we mentioned before, it's they're somehow manipulating the mic. What she did say that really made sense was not hearing them when the mic isn't plugged in and they're not speaking because they think they need a mic to speak. That really makes sense to me, and it also goes to the fact that, you know, these are people that have lived and died, because in life they would have known that you had to have a mic plugged in to speak, so in death they're going to think the same thing.
Another thing, too, is it's just one aspect of the ghost phenomena. Ghost activity and phenomena defies your logic in so many different aspects of how they reveal themselves, and EVP is just one of them.
But it's very compelling. Logic. Yeah, but it's very, very compelling compared to so much of what I see and hear about. You know, we can get ghost stories, which we will, and you can see pictures, but I don't know. EVP, I just can't tear a hole in it. Let's go to Arizona and Donna. Wait a minute. Donna, hold on. We've got a break. We've got to do, they tell me I've got to do these, so break it is. We'll be right back. Well, as usual, I blew right past the break. Donna, if you're there, we don't have a lot of time, but you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I would like to know if your guest has ever worked with, it's a new item. It's a voice box where the ghost will actually say the word. It's got like a computer in it, and they'll say, you know, are you here? And this little machine will go, yes.
In other words, it's a voice box enabling the spirits to say something aloud. Of course, there has been some research and some controversy in that area, right, guys?
Yeah, it's basically like Spiricom was.
Right.
Relies upon the same pretty much principle, and no, we haven't used it. You know, there's been some questions about the Spiricom stuff, and that's that's a lot of why we haven't got into it.
Yes, but it's still, regardless of what Spiricom was, whether it was legit or not, it's a good idea. In other words, it seems to me that if spirits can manifest a voice on a recorder, then they could indeed use a voice box or something like it to have that sound come out right now, live and in living color. And is there any chance that you two might start looking into that sort of thing at some point?
Yeah, I mean, if I saw enough evidence that it was working and there were people having success, I certainly wouldn't mind doing it. I mean, it does, you know, just like doing EVP, it doesn't hurt anything to try it. It's just we haven't got into it yet.
Perhaps a voice box connected, you know, with a preamp and a microphone or something to go with you on the investigations you're doing. And who knows, at some point, if you heard a voice actually come out of something like that, and you could actually speak with it in real time. Listen, I want to thank you both for being here tonight. Our time has expired. Fortunately, we haven't yet, but our time this night has. So thank you both.
Thank you, Art.
Thank you, Art.
Good night. It's been creepy. That's the right word. Creepy. The desert is still back there. That's not where I am at the moment. Quite the opposite, near the rainforest and palm trees and out here in the Pacific. So everybody take care. See you on Ghost to Ghost a couple of nights ahead. Till then, I'm Art Bell. Good night.